much fun are we having? We're going to have a blast. More fun than a fight at an NFL football camp. I'll tell you that. The Guardians got a really nice win yesterday over the Giants, and we get to see kind of the fruition of the trade deadline from last night even into tonight. So a lot of things going on as far as baseball is concerned. And by the way, you know, the Guardians now just a half game back on a playoff spot. Andrew Siciliano is going to join us at 11:40. We'll have Todd Monken's press conference at 12:40. He's Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. If you're coming into downtown, might be a little bit slow getting into downtown. There's a broken down right where all the construction's going down. So it was down to one lane as of like 10 minutes ago.
What do you mean where all the construction's going
All the construction, right as you get
downtown
into
downtown Cleveland?
As soon as you get into downtown. So like you'll get in the barrels if you're coming up 77. And then once you're in the barrels, there was a broken down with, I think there was somebody that was pulling over as I was watching the traffic just pile up as I was lucky enough to get through it.
Don't the barrels start somewhere around 480? And continue for like for the next 5 miles.
It's a little bit after 490. You're close. You're only one number off, Jeff, so that's good. Jeff, how are you today? What's going on?
Andy, I couldn't be finer. That's a fine looking shirt you're wearing. You must have an appointment after work.
Always fun to see the doctor after practice. Or game.
Nice.
Or
gotta
show.
Dress up for the doctor, huh?
No, I just don't. I mean, like when I walk into a doctor's office with a ratty old t-shirt on, I'm not doing that.
You never wear ratty old t-shirts.
I wear...
You're a fashionista.
No, I'm not. I'm not. Not at all. But I am. I don't know why I get sucked into these concert t-shirts when I go to these concerts now recently.
Well,
I don't know why. I keep...
That
I'm
that
like,
is?
No, this is not a concert shirt.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
No, so, but I don't... I'm totally a sucker. And I know that they pay like $6, $5 to make the shirt. And they make like, I don't know, $45, $50, $60 on a shirt at these concerts. But like, yet, I'm a sucker. I buy one.
Like buying a soda pop for $7.
Why, it's the whole, it's impulse buy when you're walking out of the grocery store. All right, let's get into the Guardians. And first of all, let's talk about tonight. We'll talk about last night too. But this whole tugboat Wilkinson thing going into tonight's game, I think is interesting because after watching last night's game and seeing like Joe Adell, who we hope he's okay moving forward. Some of the trade deadline deals are now coming to fruition. We're seeing that. So I'm going to start, and I know we were going to kind of flip this around, but Tugboat Wilkinson, to me, I think is a really interesting story.
What's a Tugboat Wilkinson?
That's right.
That's what it is.
Well, the fact that we're going to get to see him tonight, and by the way, I don't know, I mean, does everybody know how he got his nickname? Does everybody know how he got into this position and that he throws this invisible, is what they call it? I mean, it's his debut tonight. Do you know the story behind his nickname? Yeah, I
always figured it was just because he was a healthy specimen.
He is. At one point, he weighed 270, and now he's back to 250. He's taken some weight off.
So they say.
So he's a big boy.
By the way, the Giants are a lousy team.
Yeah, they made some weird plays. The throw into the ground last night. But getting back to this tugboat thing, he got the nickname, I think it was from a family member, that he said he was so slow running around the bases that he resembled a tugboat. And that's where he got it. So it's not exactly for his speed.
So in other words, pitch.
That's right. So you don't have to run around the bases. So that's where he got the nickname when he was real young. He was husky.
Interesting that he's making his first major. First of all, that he got called up. Good for him.
Yeah.
And then he's making his first start against the team he came up with.
Yeah.
He's used to the Northeast Ohio climate, having pitched in Lake County and Akron.
Oh, for sure. That's why. I mean, that's why they knew he could. He could handle the midges or whatever would come his way should he pitch tonight. Yep. I think there aren't enough good nicknames in baseball anymore. He's got one. And I do think it's fun and it's kind of interesting. I do worry about Major League Baseball teams when they go up against a guy for the first time. But this is weird because it's not like they don't know his MO on every pitch because he was here forever and we ended up getting Bailey. In the trade for a tugboat. So, and the fact that he got, are we going to do this whole show?
Yes, indeed.
And
we
the
are.
Fact that he got called up to pitch against the Guardians. I'm actually excited about tonight's game because I want to watch this. I want to see. And the invisible thing is, I think is interesting because he's got his fastballs, correct me if I'm wrong, his fastball starts low and then comes up. At least I tried to watch it. Like to me, it didn't, The visual didn't do much to me.
He gets a lot of spin on it. It's not a ton of velocity or anything like that, but he's got a lot of spin. And anytime you see a ball that looks like it's rising on your TV screen, it's the amount of spin that's on the ball. It's actually maintaining plane. It's not actually rising. It's not defying gravity.
Yeah, that would be a gravity-defying event.
That's true. That would be wicked. Right?
Okay.
Right over here. So I like this storyline going into this. I think tonight's game should be fun. It should be good. It's not like all games right now, I think, are kind of must see because of the situation that they're in, because they're fighting for a playoff spot. You can sit there. I've kind of been fascinated by watching the playoff percentages and where they're at that. At one point, they were 25%. They lost, and then they dipped back to 20. Now they're back up to like 28-29%. The odds of making the playoffs, and you know, they jumped up a spot in the standings. Technically, I still think the big picture for Guardians fans and for the team itself is just get back to 500 and then worry about the path to the playoffs. So that's where they need to go. They're in a golden opportunity to be able to do this, playing some of the cellar dwellers of Major League Baseball over the next 2 weeks. And it starts with what happened with the Giants last night. And you're right, they are not a good baseball team.
Yeah, they're not good.
And the Guardians got off to a good start in, you know, and I've been listening to Meredith say, you know, they haven't won a series since July. And they're due. And hopefully this is it. Win today. Now you got a series. That's great. That's how you move forward. And that's how they'll end up making the playoffs. They got to get back to 500, though. I think that's part of it. And maybe we might look at it when it's all said and done over the next couple of weeks and go, well, you know, look how good they're doing. It's fool's gold. But I don't care. Gold is gold, whether it's fool's gold or regular gold, for this team right now to try to get back in this thing. So, because that should be the focus. Last night's the kind of game I was hoping to see this team play. They came out early. Joe Adell came up with some big hits early on. And, you know, they were able to proceed without any hesitation last night to be able to beat the Giants.
Joe Adell looked great. Foster Griffin looked great. By the way, Foster Griffin's real first name is Fred. So he's Fred Foster, like the former Cavalier.
Oh.
Way back in the day. You saw the trade deadline stuff on display last night. That was really good. Adell with that 3-run homer was just a smash, man. And then he got hurt. So hopefully he's okay.
All right, so that's where we kind of stand after last night's game. It's hard to live with this team day by day. I think that's the problem I'm having, just kind of locking in because you just don't know what's going to happen. And you see how quickly things fluctuate in the standings when you have all these teams that are kind of bucking for a playoff spot. Now you're sitting here. And you're, what, a game back in the wild card, as I said. And there's still a couple games back in the AL Central. And then over the next two nights, Jeff, I think this is where things start to take even better perspective. You've got your best pitchers going over the next 2 days against San Francisco. So I feel good about kind of where they are right now. But if we're going to look back at this when it's all said and done, I hope that we're able to say, you remember when the Giants came to town? That was the turning point of the season that propelled them into the postseason.
You clearly have a team that's in a different stage than the Guardians are in right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these guys traded off parts. They're not a real strong baseball team right now, and we know where they are in their process. You know, they're playing young guys. They're looking at different things. It's the type of team that a team that's fighting for a playoff spot needs to take care of. You know, and you better win the series. And in reality, Andy, you should probably sweep. You know, I mean, you need to take advantage of teams like this. And then the Rockies are coming to town. It's the same type of deal. You got to beat these teams. And if you know, you want to make the playoffs, this is where you can actually really gain some games. So they did what they needed to do last night. Hopefully Adell's fine. Hopefully DeLauder's fine. What you have there are two of your better bats that are kind of dinged up right now.
You know what I thought was an interesting play? It was late in the game when they were up. And Hoskins was it Martinez was on base and didn't score. I know they were up by like, I think they were up 6 runs at that point, and he didn't score. And I know you're a gigantic Hoskins fan, but I love the fact that he was frustrated that he didn't score. It was clearly a single back up the middle with a runner at second base. It is a tailor-made RBI shot in the big leagues. You get a single back up the middle with a little bit of depth, boom, you should be scoring on those plays. I know that he didn't come around to score, but I love the fact that Hoskins was frustrated that they didn't get the RBI on that, even though it would have padded the score a little bit more. And it's not like, you know, when teams are getting beat, you just, I know you want to play station to station, but I still think you got to play baseball. And I don't know. Is it, you know, the unwritten rules of the game or, you know, like I like the fact that Hoskins was upset about that. Did you catch that? Did you notice that? Or any thoughts on that?
I did not see it.
Yeah. He was frustrated when he
I would think Reese is frustrated with his entire season.
And yesterday was a chance for him to, you know, to grab an RBI in that game. The other thing that was, you know, the positive notes, I think, from last night's game, again, Stephen Kwan remains, you know, a major contributor on this team last night. Three runs scored, had a hit. I know he struck out twice, but still, you know, you look at those kind of numbers, and then Ramirez last night, three hits, you know, scored two runs, up five times, moving his average up to 241 last night. But, you know, you see that. You see the guys that you expect to produce, and that's one of the formulas for to getting to the postseason. So I saw a lot of really, really good things on display, but I also need to pull back and say it's just one game. It's just one game. Get to 500, and then we can have a serious conversation about what we're doing here and where this thing can go and
setting up rotations.
You don't think so?
No, what they just need to do is catch whoever's in front of them. So whoever's in front of them, if they keep losing, if the Guardians end up three games under 500 for the year, they're still in the playoffs. They won't be. I mean, you're going to have to. Somebody's going to be adequate enough.
I don't know. To me, I think you have to have blinders on to the rest of everything else that's going on. Do your job, and good things are going to happen. Do your job, get back to 500, and then good things around you are going to happen. You can't sit here and look at the standings every day like I do. Let me do that. You don't do that. Just go back out there. Let's get back to 500. Let's get back to zero, and then we can move forward, and then I can worry about other teams. Like last night, I went and started to watch the Cubs and the White Sox a little bit last night. I was like, oh, I want the White Sox to lose. Come on, Cubs, let's go. But if you're in their position, I don't see that as the way you should be looking at life. Get back to 500. San Francisco Giants for the second straight day in a row as they try to climb the charts in the American League Central to get back into first place and to get back into a playoff spot. We've seen some pretty good things over the last week, things starting to percolate. I would say things started to seem like they're getting a little bit better when Cantillo pitched against San Diego, and I thought he looked strong on Saturday, and then added to the fact that your offense gave you six runs in that game. I thought that was a move in the right direction after struggling against, you know, the Mets and the White Sox and the Tigers, and, you know, I know they dropped two out of three to San Diego, but I thought that was a kind of a ray of hope, especially for a pitcher that's bouncing back between, you know, going to the bullpen and then coming back into the rotation. I don't know if, I thought it was a great idea to throw him in the bullpen. I don't know what this thing's going to look like down the stretch. You often talk about going to a six-man rotation. Yeah, it did kind of work last year.
Yeah, but this year they decided not to do it, and then Ciccone ends up arm fatigue after two relief appearances.
But then he looked good in the start. I mean, I thought he looked really good in the start the other day. He ended up with...
I was talking about Ciccone.
Oh, sorry, Ciccone. Yeah, you're right. Ciccone's the one that's jumping back and forth. Cantillo's start the other day, though, I thought was crucial because I thought it was a good start that they needed somebody that could step out there and give them a rock-solid performance. That's exactly what he did in that game. You know, ended up... only gave up one hit against San Diego, and that was just gigantic because I thought that might have been a little bit of momentum swing, especially for a team that, like, you know, you're talking about having closed door meetings, team meetings. Like, team meetings normally are not good. And a lot of times you're like, oh, they had a team meeting. Good. Maybe they'll be propelled to play better baseball down the road. You can rah-rah all you want in baseball when it comes down to its individual performance that, multiple individual performances that get a team, you know, going in the right direction when they need a pick me up or a big hit there, and momentum can maybe carry over for a couple days or a couple weeks. And as we saw at the end of the season last year, man, they definitely had momentum on their side. So we saw the trade deadline. It was on display yesterday. Can we gauge this as a success right now, or do we need more time? I think we need more time, but you tell me.
I just liked what the trade deadline did for the lineup. I mean, it looks like there's some, it looks like it's more potent. Joe Adell looked great last night. He's not been great all the way around. He's been phenomenal against lefties. I think Nathaniel Lowe's been a great addition. And Foster Griffin, as it turns out, you know, where would they be right now? Would Ciccone be out with arm fatigue? Maybe, you know, if he was still in the starting rotation, that's tough to say. Maybe it was the two relief appearances that did it to him. Who knows? But Griffin's been terrific in two of his three starts. That's a really good thing. And it gives depth to the rotation. Otherwise, Logan Allen might be up here now. Nothing wrong with Logan, but he gives you depth. So that's worked. And Adell and Lowe make the lineup look different, Andy. Those are two big guys who can hit the ball a long way and hit it hard. And I think about what this lineup would look like without them right now. That'd be an ugly-looking lineup.
Yeah.
We saw it before, and it wasn't doing very well.
I like what they did at Traylon. I absolutely like it. I don't have anything negative about it. And, they made moves that I'm sure did not make them feel comfortable. You know, you send guys down that have been here for a while. One who's still leading the team in home run, or was tied for third in home runs.
Mansardo was one of three tied for the lead with 13 homers.
Dan, can we gauge?
Joe Adell has more, but he hit most with the Angels.
Yeah. Can we gauge success, or do we need more time based on the trade deadline stuff?
I think you need more time, though. No matter how this ends, I'm happy they did it.
Yeah.
I think that might be the number one thing that comes out of this, is just they finally got aggressive and they finally looked at some of those prospects that were in log jams and went, we can move these for guys that can help our ball club.
Now, was Tugboat in a log jam, or did they give up a pitcher who was pretty good to get Patrick Bailey, which was before the trade deadline, but still.
Still, it counts in there. I understand
what you're
saying. Yeah. Also.
Thank you.
Yeah, you almost missed that.
Well, we knew what we were doing. We were also processing.
Yes. I
wonder how bought into Tugboat they've ever been. Like, I just wonder. Because he's not their kind of guy.
He is not their kind of guy.
Exactly.
Just look at, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to stereotype the guy, but when you look at him, he does not fit the mold of what they've been doing for the last two decades.
He fits the Mickey Lolich mold.
Yes.
In fact, maybe they cloned Mickey.
So here's what we mean by this. Is it's not the Husky factor. It's the factor of typically Guardians guys that they target.
I gotta be honest, it is the Husky factor for the front office. They're not big.
You think
they're,
so?
Yeah, they're not a big fan of Husky guys. I'll be honest.
You if guys would have more of a...
There aren't a lot of Boog Pauls left in the world. You know what I'm saying? They're I think that when they put money into the farm system and they know that the way this is, it's a total package. Like, they're not, it's your habits, it's the big picture way you approach life, I think. You find the people that don't, tell me if you agree with me on this, Jeff, that when it comes to the Guardians and the type of player they want, and by the way, it's been successful, so it's hard to argue against this. Most of their players are kind of in a box, and they like the same mentality from a lot of these guys. And within that mentality is being healthy, is consistency. There's a personality type, and if I'm wrong, please tell me you think I'm wrong. But it's not flashy, not... That's why, I mean, Jose is not typical of what they do, but Jose's results make you love him even more because he doesn't fall into that same kind of window that they, a player they kind of like. I'm trying to say this without saying it. You know what I'm saying?
No.
A lot of saying there. No? You don't get it?
Not really.
They have a player. There's a player type that they like, the front office.
They like middle infielders who can put the ball in play. Are you talking physical?
No, I'm talking about just like clubhouse guys. Does that make sense?
Yeah, they don't like a pain in the you know what.
Yeah.
Well, who does?
Nobody. But some teams thrive on that.
Well, we've had more than our fair share around here.
Well, those unbelievably successful teams, that this to me is why Mike Hargrove will always be on a pedestal to me, was that he was not only able to manage baseball, he was able to manage ego and, you know, personality. Like, there isn't a whole lot of that here. Is there? Am I wrong? If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I mean, I don't know these guys personally the way we knew those guys. But I do know what that prototypical Indian / Guardians player is kind of look like.
More so than football and basketball. You know, the baseball guys spend so much time together. It's tough to have difficult personalities in the clubhouse in baseball, more so than it is in football and in basketball. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. Yeah, because
you live with them.
Yeah,
you know, from mid-February until the end of September.
In football, you go to work with those guys Monday through Thursday, and you go home. And on the weekends, you know, you kind of belong to the team. But during the week, you have your football life, and then you should have some sort of life. With baseball, it's just, you know, your some sort of life is with your families in the morning. It's completely flipped around. It's not anything like any, you know, and I think basketball is even harder sometimes because you don't, at least when you're on the road with baseball, you get to kind of settle into a city for a couple days, and you can experience that. You can experience that with your teammates, and then you move on to the next city. With basketball, it's so boom, 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 boom. Like, okay, we're here, we're there, we're here, we're there. It's just, to me, basketball is even more convoluted than baseball. And again, these are all things that like fans don't even think about.
I would disagree on that one, but that's all right.
Well, you don't think so? That it's harder to get adjusted for basketball than it is for baseball? Baseball, I think, is easy to get adjusted. You get to a city. Oh, you settle in,
yeah,
and then you're...
With travel, certainly. I'm talking about from a clubhouse
standpoint. No, I'm not talking about a clubhouse standpoint there. I think that's a factor. It's a factor in some of these teams and how close they are and how they're not. But I do think, going back to what you're saying, that there's a tip, there's like, if you had to take a Rorschach test or something like that, and you got these scores, like, I don't know, and like, I think a lot of the guys that play for the Guardians would all fall within the same range on the scorecard. Does that make sense? Outside of the game.
As I said, I don't know enough about Tugboat.
Right.
To say that for sure.
No, and I don't know that that's... I'm not talking about him, yeah.
He tops out at about 91 miles an hour and doesn't have a true out pitch. That's where I was going to go with that.
Oh, okay. All right.
Which is something that is very not Guardians. The Guardians, like their guys sitting about 90, 94, 95, 96, usually have some kind of a breaking ball that is an absolute wipeout breaking ball that they use as an out pitch. The fastball can get guys out. They have a couple different ways to get guys out. That's how the Guardians pitching factory rolls. He never really fit the mold of guys in that Guardians pitching factory, besides the fact that he had the extension that they look for so that the ball comes out faster than it's going. That's where I was going.
Okay. I didn't know that's... Yeah. Okay. That's fine. I don't know. I'm still looking forward to tonight. I got to be honest. I'm intrigued by this kid. And the fact that he gets called up against his old team for his first start, it's got to be special.
Yeah, but keep in mind, this is a Giants team that's not good. So
can't care about that, though.
I'm just saying, they need some bodies. You know, he pitched well in the minors. Maybe he would have had a call-up even if you were here. You never know. But it's interesting to me. I'm anxious to see him as well. That'll be good.
There's another guy that's playing really, really well right now that we'll see. I'm wondering how long before we see him too. And that's Ralphie Velasquez. When you look at his, you look at what he's done this month.
Where is he going to play?
That's the problem, right? Look at what he's doing this month. We'll talk. You know, Guardians tonight, looking forward to watching them play. And you hear the tugboat stuff all morning here. And so he gets a chance to go up against a team where he was in the minors.
You haven't missed one yet. Nice job.
Try it.
I don't think you have yet. Let me just bring up that Ralphie Velasquez. I mean, again, last night, two hits, five total bases. He has been on fire. He's hitting every game this month for Columbus with the exception of August 2nd. So if he's out on the field, he's giving you hits. He's had, you know, a couple of multi-hit games, a three-hit game. He had an inside-the-park home run. He's currently hitting 267. He's not on the 40-man, though. So I don't know. Do you make room for him when you can expand the roster by two? I don't see him being on the playoff roster. You seem to be pretty healthy at first. You have questions about Manzardo then, too. Maybe you put him in for that. I don't know. Would you make room for him on the 40-man for the end of the season, or just say, hey, let's let it ride. He's having a great run here in AAA, and then I think when we hit the towards next season, they'll have to make a decision on Manzardo, and maybe that's what it is, and that's when you worry about it coming out of camp next year. Or do you try to give him a little bit of a taste of the bigs at the end of this year? I always feel like we're talking about the hottest prospect or the best prospect for the Guardians, just kind of the way this season has been a season of opportunity. So I wonder where he is on their radar right now, because he is on fire this month, on fire for the Clippers.
Can't wait to see him next year.
You're good with that?
Yeah, he's not coming up.
Yeah, even with the expanded, with the two-man, it's the two free spots. Well, I mean, you can still put him on the bench, or you can do something with him, or maybe you, if he's hot, why wouldn't you put, I don't know, I might even think
because
about it.
That's what you brought Nathaniel Lowe in for, left-handed hitting first baseman.
Yeah, I know.
And you're going to play Nathaniel, and they're playing Rhys Hoskins, but if they're not playing Rhys, you're going to play Nathaniel. So I would think you're just going to let Ralphie sit there and enjoy the rest of his year. You're not going to put him out in the outfield. That's a work in progress.
What if you stop playing Rhys?
Well, you have Nathaniel Lowe.
Okay, that's one. You can still kind of figure out. What if you just kind of
two left-handed hitting first baseman? That doesn't help me much. I brought in Nathaniel Lowe to be that guy, and now he's terrible against left-handed pitching. But are you going to put a left-handed 21-year-old in the lineup in critical games? When you have
Chase
another
Lauder got into the playoffs.
Well, when
last
you
year,
have another left-handed hitting first baseman. I mean, that's Nathaniel Lowe's job.
I still think that if you're hot, you're
hot.
Anything,
you bring Manzardo
side.
Up. Well, bring Manzardo back. If you don't want to play Hoskins, bring Manzardo back.
Dan, what would you do? He's not on the 40-man. That's why I don't have a lot of hope for it. But
I think Jeff has the right idea, and it's just due to the fact that when you bring that kid up, you just want to hand him the keys.
Yep, and I think they'll do that next year.
And I think they're going to have to do that next year.
Yeah.
This just isn't the way that this is set up right now, and the way Steven Vogt's been going about it. He would have to completely tell two guys, forget it, you're done, if you hand the keys to Ralphie Velasquez and do it correctly. The reason Chase DeLauder worked is because they did hand him the keys. And they said, you're out in the outfield. We're not platooning. We're not playing any of these games with you. We're not going to righty-lefty this mess. You are going to be out there every single day. And Ralphie Velasquez fits in that same exact column. It's the same thing with Travis Bezzano.
He is not platooning
second base.
It is hard to kind of ignore what he's doing, though, right now. Can you admit that, at least? I'm not saying you're bringing him up, but
Well, no, you want to see that, Andy.
Yeah, it's hard.
He's one of your top prospects.
He is making it, like, and this is what you want, right? You want a guy to kind of make a statement, and I think he's done it this month in Columbus. And look at the numbers, man. They're sick. They're sick. I mean, he's on fire.
In a perfect world, I would love to get behind that. It would just take you then having to sit down with Rhys Hoskins and Nathaniel Lowe and saying, bad news, guys, you're probably going to be at DH more than anything else.
And we're going to play a 21-year-old at first base.
And we're going to play a 21-year-old at first base because we're not going to jerk this guy around.
Has it not been the year of opportunity for the young guys? I'm just playing devil's advocate.
I get what you were saying, and I get why you want it, because I want it too. It's just reality
next
tells
year.
You differently.
Yep, next year.
Because I want it too. I would be in this realm. If it were me, we would hand him the keys, and we would go, you're going in September, and let's see how far this can go. But when they made the Nathaniel Lowe trade, it pretty much told you, no, we're buying into the platoon for at least the rest of the season.
Yep, I agree.
Mike is in Orlando. Hi, Mike.
Hey, good morning, man. How are we today?
Good. How are you?
Hi, Mike.
Good, good. Hey, I wonder if you guys could explain something to me. Jeff, you made a comment which really kind of blew my mind this morning when you said, well, maybe the Indians ought to go into a six-man rotation. And I blew my head up because, look, in the 50s and the 60s, we had three-man rotations, and it was nothing for a guy to win 25 games a year in a three-man rotation. What has happened to today's anatomy and kinesiology with these pitchers, where if they go get six innings, then we call that what? A good quality start. Six innings?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
So what happened over the years? Why can't we get better pitching over more innings.
And, Mike, it used to be throughout the 1960s as well, four-man rotations into the early 70s.
Right.
What's happened recently is an emphasis on velocity. And they're asking starting pitchers to go out and throw 100% from beginning to end. So that's why if you get into the fifth inning as a starter, it's like, okay, hey, you did your job. You get into the sixth, boy, really nice job. You get through six, you get a quality start if you give up three or fewer runs. And that's what it is, Mike. They're asking starting pitchers to throw harder for less time. Look at the innings totals of guys throughout the 50s, 60s, and 70s. I mean, the number of innings Nolan Ryan pitched in a season was silly, but Nolan was a freak of nature.
When's the last time we had a 25-game winner in baseball? You want to guess? I have the answer in front of me. You want to guess?
I would say maybe in late 70s.
1990, Bob Walsh did it in 90. So,
Eastern Michigan.
Yeah.
Anyway. And what about these finesse pitchers then? You know, like we had Smoltz and Maddox with the Braves. What about that?
Smoltz could bring it, though.
But they were finesse pitchers. I mean, Atlanta had the finesse pitchers. Where'd they go?
Maddox became one.
Yeah. Mike, thank you. Appreciate it. Enjoy the day in Orlando, my friend. Enjoy the day in Orlando.
See, it's just a different world. And
money is the other part of this too. Let's not kid ourselves.
I'm going to look it up. Well, it's you're asking pitchers to pitch a different way. I mean, that's what's going on, and that's tough. You know, honestly, it used to be 200 innings a season, right?
Was not a goal. Like I remember sitting down with CeCe one spring training, and going, "Hey, man, what's the goal this year?" And he was just like, well, "I got to get to 200 innings."
I just double checked. Mm-hmm. How many guys in the major leagues threw 200 or more innings last year? Three.
I know Logan Webb is one of them.
Logan Webb, Garrett Crochet, who's out with an injury this year. What's that tell you? And Christopher Sanchez from the Phils.
Mm-hmm.
Three guys. That was it.
Mm.
You know, and here, just for giggles, let me go back. As long as ESPN will let me go back.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to 2003 regular season. Okay. Roy Halladay threw 266. There are so many guys who threw 200 innings. I'm still scrolling down and I can't get to the bottom of the list.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you the other, it's kind of enigma on this too, the 25 game winners thing. So, you know, I talked about Welsh there in 90, but I mean, before that, you're looking at since 1978. You've only had three guys do it, 25 wins. Welsh had 27 in 90. Ron Guitry had 25 in 78, and Cleveland's own Steve Stone with 25 in 1980. It's been that long since you've seen any of these, since we've seen anything that even resembles a 25-game. I don't know. It's going to be, will we see another 25-game winner? I don't know that we will. It would have to take another shift in the game where somebody just says, okay, well, we've got a guy that's whose arm will never burn out, which it's not going to happen.
44 guys in 2003 threw 200 or more innings, 44. Last year it was three. So it's pitchers are being asked to do different things.